Welcome to episode 7 of Universally Speaking. You've got me here, Gemma.
And the other Gemma, the northern one. And we are going to talk to you today about our opinions on the latest sort of legislation that's coming out about banning disposable vapes. We know that vaping across the country is becoming more and more of an issue. And we want to sort of talk about some of the science, some of the medical stuff, and some of the misconceptions that people have around vaping.
I think something that sort of when in discussions with other people and students is people are really divided on kind of their support of vaping and why vaping for people is important, but also why vaping is really bad for you. And you get some people talking about why would I want to, you know, use a fruit flavored battery, but you've got others that say, well, actually, it's something that's helped someone stop smoking. And I think that's...
Yeah, and I think initially sort of the original research that came out showed that e-cigarettes, which is what they were first called, were far less harmful than smoking. And it did help people sort of move away from cigarettes. But the idea is that the vaping is supposed to be this transition to stopping smoking altogether.
I think the thing about vaping is that we actually don't know how many chemicals are in an e-cigarette. So although it's there to help people sort of stop smoking and it's that kind of in-between step, I think where with regular tobacco cigarettes, they've sort of said there's, you know, up to 7,000 chemicals in it, we actually don't really know what chemicals are in the e-cigarettes. So although it might be less than the 7,000, we don't really know what is in the e-cigarette that could be exposing us to more harm.
And I think actually that leads in beautifully to what I was really thinking about, because yes, we don't know how many chemicals. We don't actually know what the long-term effects are. So how are we judging these to be potentially safer than something that we know dramatically affects the function of our lungs? And that's what makes me really curious about vaping and possible side effects, because we know that more people across the country, and unfortunately more young people, are picking up this who have never smoked. So I don't get the appeal. I don't get the peer pressure, and maybe that's because I'm old, and maybe that's because I'm thinking, do you know what, I quite like my lungs and they do me a solid, but actually, are the side effects well known enough? Is there good evidence to prove that the long-term effects? Probably not yet, because like smoking 40, 50 years ago, we didn't know the effects until we're now seeing that in people that have smoked lots and lots. So we know they can't be risk-free.
And I think for me, sort of seeing some of the research, and I mean, this research is sort of about 3 years out of date. So to be fair, I think this research would be higher, but it was confirmed that there were like 2,807 cases of e-cigarette or vaping use associated lung injury, and there were 68 deaths attributed to the condition. And I think for a long time, vape companies have kind of ridden on this wave of we are healthier than cigarettes, we are better than cigarettes, which has led people to sort of truly believe that you can't get ill from them, or you can't get lung diseases or lung conditions that can be life-threatening.
No, but equally, right, we're also putting into our body nicotine. So through vaping, through smoking, either of them, we are putting nicotine in, which we know is a chemical that makes it addictive. It alters our brain chemistry, and it does have an effect, and it makes us crave that more and more, which is then going to lead to disrupting our attention, disrupting our focus. And we know that's going to affect potentially the way that people learn, the way people that can concentrate in stressful situations, in non-stressful situations, in times of importance. So, yeah, we might not have that research right now that says there's links to cancer like there is with smoking, but there are physiological changes in the body, and there are also neural changes in the body.
But I think also, with, as you were saying there, is we've got this research and we've got this data to show that regular cigarettes does have links to cancer, But e-cigarettes and vapes have nicotine in them. And nicotine Absolutely. Is just as addictive as something like heroin or cocaine to somebody who is a regular user. And in fact, when you're smoking an e-cigarette or you're vaping, you're actually taking in more nicotine than you would actually from a combustible tobacco product because it's there. So I think actually, people have missed that research on it's the nicotine that is the bit that is going to make people ill, as well as all the chemicals that make up all these great flavours that people say there are. I'm a bit like you. I do not find the attraction in buying something that's like black cherry flavoured. I love it if it's a drink, if it's a bit of cake, love it. But I don't see the appeal of taking it into my lungs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not going to satisfy me like a bit of cake.
No, and do you know what I found really, really interesting actually over the last couple of years, more so, we're seeing more and more cases of something called popcorn lung. Mm. Now, do you know what I mean? I am a science teacher. Biology is my thing. I love it. And the respiratory system and the lungs are fascinating organs, like the way that they're set up and designed. However, we've got these tiny little tubes called bronchioles. We've got these tiny little air sacs called alveoli that are actually really delicate structures. And the way that they're designed is to get oxygen into the blood and get that carbon dioxide out. Now, if we're whacking in more chemicals, whether that be from a cigarette, whether that be from a vape, what's going to happen is we are going to damage those small airways that allow the oxygen to get in. Now, if we're damaging them, it's going to make us cough. It's going to make us short of breath. But what it's also going to do is it is going to cause those little tiny air sacs to sort of puff up like popcorn does. So imagine if you've got popcorn in the microwave or on the stove and you see it popping from those little kernels into those nice fluffy shapes. That's what vaping can do to the alveoli. Now, if we looked at that, any of the causes of that, we would be concerned. Absolutely, because what that's going to do is it's going to mean long term, I'm going to have something like COPD, which we know is a debilitating sort of disease that means that our lung function is not working properly. Now, if my lung function is not working properly, how am I going to have the energy to do what I want to do? I'm probably not. Also, because I've got that damage to those lungs, it's going to make it harder to breathe because I'm losing all that elasticity. So therefore, it's going to be painful. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. And I think not enough emphasis is put on the potential risks of this, especially if people are starting at a young age, which is just crazy.
Well, you know, there's a bit of research done by a doctor in America called Michael Blaha. And although it is based on data in America, I think it very much reflects kind of the vaping situation here. And he says, although it is quite tricky sometimes to get data from teenagers as such, because they do change their preferences often, he said that actually through the data that they've collected, e-cigarette use increased by 1,000%. Among sort of secondary school students. And he said that actually it's because students that would never choose to smoke a cigarette are choosing to vape. So it's not at all anymore for helping you move off of cigarettes. It's actually something that students are picking up. And it has been proven that e-cigarettes and vaping is not actually the best smoking tool and the best tool for giving up smoking.
I agree. I've literally just read some research from Dr. Jeff Sipple, who also sort of reaffirms that actually. So it is a minefield, and I think people are not given enough information to make a really informed decision.
And I think it was interesting because there was a bit of I was reading a news report from the BBC, and it said that actually looking at the kind of trends in vaping, particularly with teenagers, is that during the COVID pandemic, where teenagers were at home with their parents, massive drop, because they were at home with their parents, so therefore they weren't able to vape or use their e-cigarettes. So there was a massive drop in it. So again, it kind of goes to show that they're not using it because they're trying to give something up. They're using it as a kind of tool to be amongst their peers. It's being used as a kind of fashionable, being cool kind of
Something like that. And it's about making a really informed decision. And it takes a lot of courage to make an informed decision as a teenager nowadays. So I think to round it off, I'd like to finish with, I think the reasons why you probably shouldn't even start vaping or reasons for you to stop. So we know, and you've heard throughout this podcast today, that vaping is highly addictive. It is as addictive as smoking cigarettes, if not more so, because of the amount of nicotine concentration that's going into the vapes is crazy.
And I think also sort of linking to that is the idea that is a trend really worth ruining your health and life for, because that's absolutely, with you talking about the popcorn lung and things like that, or even something we've not yet like diagnosed in someone, I don't think any trend is worth your health and your life, which is why I think I support the ban.
Yeah.
Because I think by banning it, yes, I know we might end up with there being, you know, we're never going to be able to stop everybody, but actually by banning it, a huge proportion we are going to, and then that trend.
But we're also going to have healthier kids.
Yes.
Because we know that e-cigarettes, that vapes, contain those really harmful chemicals.
Yep.
And like we said, while it's really widely known that cigarettes contain that, we still need to investigate and keep our eye on the long-term effects of vaping. So I do definitely believe that they do contain these harmful chemicals. But I think my final point is that young people who vape face greater risks later on. Like, if you're a parent, you might not even know that your child is vaping, because it's not as disruptive or as obvious as smoking.
Or as smelly, to be
fair. Or as smelly. And the truth is, we don't know how many people are vaping in the world, okay? It's easy, like Gemma said, it's easy for kids to get drawn into vaping because of the way that it's marketed, the flavours, the way that people amongst their peers look at it. And I think what's more important is the misconception that vaping is less harmful than smoking cigarettes, because it's simply not true.
I think that's the scary thing about it.
And and it's the idea that people are rationalising it, that it's the lesser of two evils, when it's not. And we know that kids who vape become lifelong vapers potentially, and that's going to give them a much higher risk of lung injury, emerging illnesses that we don't even know about yet. And for me, as a mum, as a teacher, as a human being, as a biologist, that's really scary.
Yeah.
So personally, no matter how you look at it, vaping's going to cause problems.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm with Gemma. I'm all for the ban.
Yeah, me too. Well, hopefully, kind of the research we've looked at and what we've kind of talked through with our views has kind of just given food for thought and made people kind of sort of rethink, sort of, especially when it comes to teenagers, kind of why we really want to see that ban with vaping, because of just the damage it does, and just the
impact. And the healthy future we want you guys to have.
Yeah, and just the impact it can have. So, thank you for listening to us.